Every day I'm hustling. 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 Every day I'm. Every day I'm. Every day I'm hustling.
Hey guys, welcome back to Jules on the Hustle. How are you guys? I'm awkwardly sitting here wearing sunglasses inside my house with the lights off, curtains down, because I just got my eyes dilated. So I'm just here trying to find all the darkness in the world. So I haven't gotten my eyes dilated in a really long time. I don't go to the eye doctor as much as I should, but I was like worried about getting dilated. I was like, I don't know how it's gonna feel. Like, it's been a while. It's amazing. Like, you really take your five senses for granted. You know, you got your smell, your hearing, your taste, your eyesight, and your touch. If you could get rid of one, like, which one, or if you had to get rid of one, which one would you say would be one where it was like, okay, this is the one I least care about? I honestly, I have no idea. Like, we rely on all these senses so much, obviously, but like, don't take them for granted. You really, it's like when you're sick, you don't take your health seriously until you actually get sick. So just a little info there. But anyway, guys, we have such an awesome guest joining us today, David Yontef. He's the host of the award-winning podcast Behind the Velvet Rope, which is a podcast dedicated to Real Housewives, Bravo, and pop culture. While I realize that this episode may not be for everybody, I know some of my hustlers are not about the Real Housewives, that pop culture life. There's so much more than just that we talk about. We talk about how I drew a lot of comparisons here. So for him, he spills the tea on, you know, lives behind the TV screen, what you see on camera. Whereas in tennis, you know, I have these tennis guests on and I kind of talk to them about their lives, the parts we don't see. You know, on TV, I always say this, we see them going down on their knees when they win the US Open. But I come on the podcast and I talk to them about that process, their emotions, their feelings. So David is the same thing, but with pop culture. He brings these ladies, these men on, and he just breaks them down, gets to the nitty gritty. So I love that. I love that comparison. I really appreciate what he does. And, you know, to get that information out of these, like, these celebrities, essentially, is sometimes hard. So they're kind of reserved at times and they want to dish their info out on TV. So for him to be able to be such a star at, you know, that kind of talent, like, props to him. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode and yeah. So I'm here with David. Such an honor to have you. I pulled out my bright purple lipstick today, which doesn't normally happen, but I decided to jump out of my comfort zone today.
And it's so early in the morning. Like, I'm having my coffee. I don't know. Like, I'm a morning person. So I have been up even though it's 10 a.m. for hours, but it's still morning and I'm still waking up. So how are you?
I'm doing well. David and I are in New York. It's snowing. So it's kind of a good day to podcast and just cuddle a bit.
Listen, you know, at first everyone's money was against me because, you know, for my podcast, I was out like, I was really out 7 nights a week because when I started my podcast Behind the Velvet Rope, it really was like stories of hanging out with like the housewives and these reality stars. So, I mean, it's morphed into interviews 5 days a week, but before that it was literally stories of me hanging out with all these people. So I was out like 7 nights a week kind of for work. So when this whole thing started, everyone's money was against me. They're like, how are you going to survive? I'm like, listen, it's a global pandemic. I know how to like follow the rules. Now, oh man, to your point, like, I love being home. Like, isn't it nice?
It's so nice.
I don't love what's going on in the world. It's a fucking mess. But I don't know what I would do if I had to go out every day now. Like, I'd be in culture shock that way now.
Yeah. And I think what makes your podcast so successful is you do hang out with these celebrities, the housewives, Bravo celebrities. You get to see a side of them that's real and it's
it's a side that a lot of Americans or people can't see on TV. So I think we love going on to your show to just get that tea.
And that's really, I mean, like people who listen to my show say that it's like, even there's these whole influx of new listeners this week. I don't know how they found me. They're all from Scotland. Listen, I'm not arguing. When like a new group finds you, you don't argue.
Absolutely not.
But like, even when new people like this find me, they all say the same thing. They're like, it's so casual. It's like literally not formal. It's like having a conversation between two friends. And like, it wasn't purposeful. It just kind of, this is my style. And now it's become a thing where people are like, it's not, you know, like I don't really edit. Like if there's a, you know, someone's child comes in the room, someone's dog, you know, like
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Right. Like I think, so I guess I didn't realize it, but people love seeing these reality stars, housewives, whoever it is. It's not just reality. Like we've had some pop culture people on, but I think people like seeing them just like, oh, hold on a second, my phone's ringing, or just, I don't know, people like that part of it.
It's a side that normal person doesn't get to see. That's actually how my show started. I play tennis professionally and I have these connections with all the other pro tennis players. And so I would bring them on the show to just talk about normal life stuff. You know, on TV, you see them winning a tournament or accepting a trophy. But when you hear like a podcaster talking to their friend, it's just like a side that the audience or the listeners have never heard. So really excited to have you on.
Thank you.
Talk all great things. You have your podcast, obviously called Behind the Velvet Rope. Just dive into how that started.
So, you know, kind of like you said, like I found myself hanging out with all these housewives and people on Bravo. And, you know, I was like, listen, there's no cameras. This is between, because you can't really hang out with these people when they're filming like a season, you know, like if the housewives are filming, it's not what you think. It's not like, oh, you're invited to the party and get right in there and go cause drama with Teresa, you know, and Melissa. You're like, no, sweetie, it doesn't work that way. Like, yes, this is a party that's being filmed and there are Teresa and Melissa and there's 7,000 cameras around them. And even if you try to walk up, someone's going to stop you, first of all. And if you're not stopped, it will be edited out. So it's not like that. So really the fun stuff is when they're not filming a season, because then you can hang out with these people you're friends with, or, you know, whatever. I've used the term friends very loosely. But so when I was doing this, you know, I was like, this is like, why is no one watching this? Like, this is what's really interesting. And so that's kind of why I started my podcast. It was to talk about like these little stories of what I was observing. Now it is morphed into something totally different. I still have stories and tea and, you know, things to say. And like, that's on my Patreon, not to try to say, hey, pay for my Patreon. I mean, it's like freaking $4 a month. So, but that's where all that is. It's really just now turned into a like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day.
A full-time job.
It is a full-time job. And it is interviews now with these people. And you know, so it's different. Like now I've become like this journalist. It's not about me. It's not about my stories. It's not about me having an opinion. It's really about me getting you to talk, because people are listening and they want tea. And that's kind of what I become good at, which I like it.
That is such a skill to just yank it out of people. I'm actually a reporter at Newsday. I don't know.
Oh, you are? I don't think I knew that.
I am, but in the sports side. So okay. We haven't crossed paths, but I know exactly. And I actually do a lot of coverage of high schoolers. So a lot of me is trying to pull that information out of young kids, trying to like get more out of them. They don't speak as eloquently as adults, obviously, but I know what it's like to be a reporter. And that's exactly what you're doing. You're trying to get that good stuff out. But
and not for nothing. And like, listen, I'm not, there's no ego or whatever, but like I mean, I also do these private like Zooms for anyone that like wants to start a podcast or is like struggling with their podcast and it's not growing. Like I'm available for private Zooms now, but my point is like, I know what I'm doing now, you know? And the thing is, it's not just about the guest. Like if you want this to be a business, it's not about the guest. It's not about just the show. Then there's this whole back end of like, let's work with the media. You know, you see my podcast and like Vanity Fair and People and Us. I've now learned, like, look, it's a fine line. You have to do a great show and you have to have people listen and love that episode. But to your point of working at Newsday, I now know how to think in terms of sound bites. And like, I will literally sit there while I'm interviewing you. And when certain things are being said, I'm like, that's it. Like, that's the headline, done. And so
this is how sick I am.
I mean, like, listen, I don't pick the headline. So if you're on my show and, you know, Us Weekly says whatever, and you're not happy with the headline, sweetie, there's nothing I can do. Like, I don't work for Us. Like, there's press releases that go out, but I don't pick the headline. So when someone's like, why did she say I said this? And I'm like, that's in the headline and I have no control over that. But the actual things of what someone's saying, I'm like, that is going to be a thing. And now, so I know it now. Like,
yeah, you're like, bingo. That was actually going to be something I asked you. If you're ever having these conversations and you're like, oh, that's juicy, like that's going to, you know, hit the tabloid. So
you kind of, yeah. And it doesn't even have to be bad. I mean, listen, I know what I'm doing. I could pretend like I don't, but you know, like, listen, there's real conversations and there's real things I want to get out of people for the audience. I mean, it really is about the audience at the end of the day, but I now know how to think in terms of like, that's going to be something. And every now and then someone will call me and want something edited out. I'm not a lapdog. It's not like, sure, let me do this, but I appease most people that call me within reason. I have to tell you, never once has someone, you know, all these people you see on your TV, never once has someone called and wanted something edited out that I'm like, oh, sweetie, that's the wrong thing. I don't say that, but when they're like, take this out, I'm like, I'll gladly take that out. Nobody gives a crap. These other 17 things that you said, these are the things you should be asking me to take out, but I'm not going to offer that up to you.
Obviously.
So it's just weird that people that are in like on TV for 10, 15 years don't know. Like, I don't know. That's a skill, I think. Again, I have no ego. It's just, I can tell what the headline is going to be and what the questions are. And like, just, it's almost like there's certain questions I know to ask for different guests that I don't care what your answer is. This will be a thing.
Yeah. I don't think it's ego at all. It's just confidence and being aware of your skills. And that's what makes a show like yours so popular. So I think you should own it. Absolutely. Have you had any guests that just really stick with you? And like, I'm sure you've had so many incredible guests, but any few that are like, oh, I love this, I'll remember forever.
I mean, I feel like it's really weird. I mean, it shows you something about us being on our phones. And I am the same way that you like never pay attention in life because you're always, I mean, at least for me, I'm a Gemini. I do 100 things at once. As you can see, I have high energy.
I'm a Gemini.
When's your birthday?
June 13th.
June 9th. It's there all about go. The Geminis.
There we go. Cheers.
Cheers to that. So yeah, like, you know, when I like this is, but this is what I love about this job is like when I talk to someone, listen, there are people, I'm a human. So I do have my favorites. I mean, I don't play favorites. It's all professional, but like off air there, yes, of course there are housewives I love as people. They're just reality. And we don't just do housewives. We're heavy into Bachelor Nation now.
You know, right. It seems like a new transition now. Like obviously Bachelor, Bachelorette has been huge for years, but I feel like it's transitioning more into that area.
Well, yeah. And so, you know what it is. So like, there's people I enjoy speaking to more than others, but because I focus and like, I'm not on my phone, I really feel that I get a sense of someone from speaking to them. Whether, I mean, I make my own assumptions, but I just feel like you get a sense of someone. And so you, at the end, you're like, I like that person. I don't like them. You just get a sense of, and I think because you're not on your phone, like I pay attention and I kind of will remember something about every interview. Like that's not even a cop out, you know, like I have some of my favorites, but I feel like because I pay attention, I really remember mostly every interview and something the person has said, not little details. People will, like even yesterday I had like Meredith and Brooks on from Salt Lake, Marks, and people are like, well, they said this and this. And so, I mean, that I'm not good with because I do so many interviews, but apparently Meredith said something and that people are saying that's opposite of something she said like 10 weeks ago. I'm like, I don't, power to all of you for remembering one sentence from the actual Real Housewives of Salt Lake. And apparently something she said on my show yesterday either contradicts that or is it something, I don't know. And everyone's now up in arms and I'm like, you guys can run with this. I don't know about that, but you kind of remember something about everyone.
Yeah. And going off of what you just said, there's press releases, there's stuff on social media, probably for you, like all the time. How are you able to kind of disconnect from some of the noise, or do you enjoy it? Are you up all night on your phone just scrolling through social media?
Well, I mean, I enjoy it and hate it at the same time, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
Like, I do enjoy it, but there are definitely times. Like, this week is a normal week that a normal human being should have, and you're busy and you're working. I have a week like last week where I was like, this is not normal. I literally,
yeah, you told me.
I mean, I literally said last week, like, I just need to make, not that I'm that self-important, I'm just going to make a post on Instagram. No one's going to give a fuck, but I'm going to do it. And I'm just going to make an announcement that I am no longer responding to DMs. This is like how J-Lo is. But I mean, I'm not that. I get it. I'm now back to normal, but I just had a point where I'm like, I cannot respond to people anymore online. I just can't do it. It's like either I will be in a mental hospital or everyone else will get their DM answered and they'll be happy. So it's like them or me. We're past that. I had a bad week. But so, I mean, I do like, yeah. I mean, I think you just have to engage, and to some extent, that's the world we live in. So I do like it. And then you have moments where you're like, this is really sick. Like, we all just live in our phones. And your truthfully, interaction, I mean, I know it's COVID, and so like that's part of it, but like we're all just interacting with people, good, bad, in our phones. It's sick. It's, if you really think about it.
Yeah. I mean, even at a very young age now, you see kids at the dinner table using their iPad to entertain. Whereas when I was a kid, we had little, you know, dolls that they bring to a dinner table. It's just, it's a digital world we live in, I guess you can say. And I mean, I keep now going back to tennis, but as a pro tennis player, I had to deal with my fair share of hate mail and love mail. You hate it and you love it. People bet on you in tennis when you lose, and they bet on you to win. They send you death threats. They tell you they hope you and your family die of a terrible disease. And then it's because these people are betting on you and they lose money. And I'm sorry, but if you're betting on women's tennis, I feel sorry for you, because women are unpredictable as it is. But then in women's tennis, tennis is all about who's having a good day, who's having a bad day. And I'm not going to keep going. I don't want to bore you.
I mean, that makes sense to me, you know? So it's the same thing, you know, but yes, like to your point, I will be done working for the day. Like, yay, I could finally go to bed and turn off. And then, yeah, I'll be like, well, okay, now I should just go through things online. And so I am in bed scrolling and all this. So I must not hate it that much if I do it. If I really hated it, I wouldn't do it.
Oh, exactly. And going off of what you said before, like if it's positive media, then you're like, if I win a big tournament, I'm in bed all night. Like I can't sleep. I'm just like, oh, like compliment, or, oh, they enjoyed watching me, or, oh, my ranking is this now. So it really can definitely make you feel good at the same time, but can make you feel really bad at other times. So I think it's good to notice both sides.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and you get both, you know. I just don't understand. I mean, yeah. There are people, I don't understand all the people that spend all day leaving negative comments, having nothing to do with me, just for everyone. It's so weird. I don't know if I think people are trying to be funny and add to the conversation, but it's all just, I mean, like even yesterday, people were like, I hate Brooks, fuck off Brooks. Brooks is a fucking asshole. Why are you interviewing people's children that are on Housewives? This is called Housewives, not Children. I'm like, why? I mean, even if you, I don't know. Like, I've always said this on my show too. Like, I have no emotional feelings about these shows. Like, I will speak out and hate you in real life when you're an asshole to me as a person. There's plenty of housewives that I can't stand, but that has nothing to do with the show. It's like, as a person, you're a horrible person, which is okay, but you've actually directed this disgust towards me, and now I hate you, and now I'm more than happy to speak. I don't understand watching a show and being like, I hate you so much that I have such strong feelings.
I mean, is it ever a point where maybe people are saying something to just grab a little attention, hoping yes. to be in the spotlight?
Yes.
Clout. Yeah.
Because the thing is, people don't come after me that often. They do, but it's mostly a lot about the guest. And then I'll usually say something like, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. And you would think people would be like, F off. That's not what I just said. Or I just said, I hate that person. I'm not listening and I would never listen. Sometimes you get that. But most of the time when I say that, they will respond and be like, oh, I love you. You're a great podcast. I just don't like so-and-so. So it's like, I don't know. I do
kill them
think-
with kindness, maybe.
Yeah. And I really do. Yeah, no, sort of. And I think people want to be heard and they want attention. And I think COVID has made that worse. I think people are home alone. And so I think if you just respond, kill them with kindness, then they're happy.
They probably don't think that they're going to get a response. And so when they do, they're like, he noticed me. Oh, I love your show. Like, they really do enjoy it. There's a reason they follow you and listen to the podcast. I always say that when people leave negative comments, there's a reason they follow you or listen to you. They do enjoy the show. Maybe they want to like latch on a bit to get their own little attention or fame, or they're having a bad day and they want to take it out on someone. But then when you engage with them, like, oh shit, like he saw me, he cares, or he noticed me.
Kind of. Or I always love when someone's like, you know, I'm really sick and tired of you. And they literally, they'll go on and they will literally tell me the things they don't like. And I'm like, wait a second. You just referenced 19 different episodes of Behind the Velvet Rope podcast. These 19 things which you don't like are 19 different guests, bachelors, drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race, Perez Hilton, Melissa Rivers, not even reality, lots of housewives, other you listen to my show, to every episode. So you can continue to hate everything about me. And thank yeah. you. Thank you for referencing 18 specific shows, 19 specific shows, and like in detail. And I hope other people see how much you hate me, because this is like free advertising and I love you for this.
That is epic. I love that so much. It's so true. You're like, if this is what hate feels like, come hate more. Come on.
Seriously. You know? So yeah. Yeah. And it just comes with the territory, but it's like, right. The people that hate, they have real specific stuff. And it's like, you listen to the show. So you must not hate it, because you could just not listen. I'm okay with that if you really hate it that much.
Exactly. If you could be on one reality television show for a season, is there one you would be like, I would love to partake in this?
Huh. I mean, I used to always, my go-to was always The Real Housewives of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what it would be, you yeah. know? But I mean, I have to say though, I also love, nothing to do with TV. I love the game of Big Brother. It's brilliant. So I would love to also go and play Big Brother and go get locked up in a house and, you know, be told what to do by Julie Chen all day. So there's that. But
are you on Millionaire Matchmaker, David?
I was. Are you just realizing this now, or did you Google
No, me? I just wanted to point it out to the listeners. I knew you were, but I just didn't know how to introduce it. So you were on that show. I do enjoy Patty. I enjoyed your interview with her. I know you said you had some negative feedback on that show.
Well, no, I mean, first of all, I'm friends with Patty now. Like, I speak to Patty all the time. She's one of my
amazing
quarantine buddies. Like, this is what happens. Like, people come on my show and then you don't keep in touch with everyone. It's organic. You just keep in touch with certain people. You know, so Patty is one of those people. We just started speaking all the time. No. I don't have anything bad to say about it. I think, you know, I wasn't really looking for love at the time that I was on that show. And so you're in it and then you're like, this is real. Mm-hmm. And I have to now go on a date with someone. And I just don't feel like going on a date with anyone. I'll hang out with Patty more and I'll film this TV show. But like, I have to go on an actual date. And like, I don't want to go on a date with anyone. Like if going on a date by myself at that point were an option, I would have chosen that option. I also didn't know what I know now about reality TV. So I didn't realize you could be like, I'm not fucking doing this. Like now I probably would be like, I'm not going on this date. Like I'm not interested. I don't want to do it.
You can. Yeah, this was reality TV back in 2011. So it was a little different then.
Yeah, but you could have done it. You still could have pushed back and stood up. You know, because I mean, one of my scenes was like, Patty wanted to teach me a lesson and I was superficial and blah, blah, all this crap. Sorry, Patty. And so like, they dressed me in like a fat suit and they like undermade me to walk down Times Square with Patty and like learn that people are looking at me because like, I look a certain way and I shouldn't judge people and this is how I make people feel. And then when all of that was over and said and done, the producers like later that day were like, we're so shocked that you agreed to that. And I'm like, what? Like, I didn't realize I had a choice.
Right.
I just thought, like, you're I like, signed. Yeah. So that sticks out to me because that is reality TV. Like, you
That's
don't
telling.
Have to do something. So I was like, oh, I mean, also, were you trying to get me to disagree with this for drama? But like, I should have, you know, I mean, I didn't mind doing it. That's the thing. And while we were doing it, Patty was like, everyone's looking at you, you know, because you look like this and you have to learn the street. I'm like, everyone is looking at me because I'm walking down the middle of Times Square with Patty Stanger, the Millionaire Matchmaker. That is why. And there's 800 cameras following.
Right. That is why. That is
right.
I actually want to dive into Summer House, if that works for you.
We can do it.
Awesome.
No, wait, did you say you know Hannah because you're a tennis player?
Yeah. So I've grown up with Hannah Berner. She is about 2 years older than me, but we grew up together. We never really played against each other because she was older and we were different age groups, but we were both in New York and we played collegiate tennis and we just reconnected after college and started practicing. And she last season, not the one airing now, the season before, they had two parties back in normal times. And I attended both parties. It was eye-opening. It wasn't a party. It felt like we were robots controlled to do things. Not that my presence really mattered, but like you would see Hannah and Paige in a corner with cameras and then come back and then the next group of girls or guys would go there and they'd have to sometimes redo their scene if it didn't come out the way they liked. It just was very robotic, not what you would expect from watching the show. I had one line aired with Jules Daoud. I was telling her like, oh, you're from Jordan. I'm from Lebanon. We're both Middle Eastern. So that was obviously because I mentioned something about being diverse. They love that. But
right. Like you have to redo scenes and there's cameras and like Hannah's then having a drink and they're like, Hannah, we need you back for the scene. And you have to go back and do it. Like, yeah,
exactly.
That's how it is.
Hannah shook her butt at someone, but the camera didn't get it. Oh, Hannah, can you do that again? I'm going to film this one. I know like you can't tell on the show that Hannah enters the home, the house. She seems single, but we know looking back, she had just started her relationship with Dez. She seems pretty upset with Luke when he comes in. And I don't know how much of that was for TV or if she had those feelings still and was upset when Luke came, you know, with Sierra.
I mean, I don't know. It seems like it's for TV to me.
It has to be.
It seems like it's for TV. It's like we have to continue this story and somehow, you know, play it out and...
Yeah, the viewers love seeing Hannah and Luke's relationship from last season. So,
and it's like a way to be a central storyline. I mean, who wouldn't play that up? Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I don't think you need to be 15 years into a show. I think you need to be 1 year in. And by your second year, I mean, some first, but by your second year, I think you know what you're doing. And it's not your show. It's an ensemble. So you have other people who know what they're doing. So all you have to do is go a little bit. And then everyone around you has their part. Like, it's like, you know what you're doing, but everyone else does. So if you go a certain way, it's easy to find at least two people to go that way with you. So if you're having drama over something, somebody will flock to that because they know what they're doing too. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense.
Then you're acting and they're acting and everyone's acting and it's like a thing.
Yeah, and then you can really build that, like she was getting upset with Luke and everything. I'm talking about the first episode again. I missed last night, but it helps with the alcohol, you know, to flow those emotions and stuff like that. The tequila helps, you know, feel that character of, you know, being upset that of what's going on, I guess you could say.
I agree. So, well, how was Hannah as a child?
Yeah, Hannah, I didn't know her too well until I'd say we were a little older, probably around the college years. I just knew her as a tennis player. She has always been very competitive. That's her main thing. So whether it's on the tennis court or in life, she wanted to play on a boys' tennis team growing up, and they they rejected her because she was a girl. I can't remember if she actually ended up playing or not, but she wanted to. She's like, I'm good enough. Like, I want to. And so very competitive. So maybe this competition with Sierra is a not competitive, but like to get Luke's heart is a competition to her. So,
I mean, she seems very competitive. So that makes sense to me.
And of course, a show that, I mean, I always watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette, but there's also Say Yes to the Dress. I mean, that's because society tells me to watch it and I love it.
Well, it's filmed like literally down the street from my apartment, like literally like three doors down. So
really,
I've never watched it, but when they were filming and like when people come to see me, they're like, oh, could we go by there? I'm like, it's two doors down. Like, we can go.
You're like, go ahead.
Aww. I'm like, sure. But I've literally never seen it a day in my life.
You gotta, you're missing
it. I know. Like, yes, I do.
Even if you don't relate to getting a wedding dress, you can relate to just the reality television side. There's funny characters, funny personalities, I should say. And I do enjoy it.
But I mean, yes, I'm trying to take, not add anything to my roster,
yeah,
but yes.
That's a good point.
But no, I mean, but I get what you're saying. Like, it's not, you know, is that even still on? Like, are new episodes even still on?
Lately, don't think there have been new episodes, but yeah, it's been a while. I just watch like repeats, but it's a good point. It's a good but I mean, are there any parting thoughts? Anything else that you think would be interesting to share?
I mean, I just think, you know, there's a lot going on in reality TV. Like, Bachelor Nation is changing by the day. You know, yeah,
it's like Andy Cohen the other day, for instance, he had Matt James on. Has he ever had a bachelor on the show?
Yeah. I mean, I know Tyler Cameron's been on, but I'm not sure who else. It's a great season. This is a great season. Like, I've got so many people from Bachelor Nation coming up. Like, hold on to your seats.
Oh, really? I'm very excited.
I'm recording an addendum today for someone who I already recorded, but we're adding like 10 minutes at the end. Because I mean, this whole thing, like with Chris Harrison, and like there's just, it's changing by the day. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, put into perspective, like, you know, a million some odd people watch The Housewives if they're lucky on a good day, and like 5 million people watch The Bachelor. So at one point, I was like, no, Behind the Velvet Rope podcast, we are also getting into The Bachelor.
Absolutely.
We're gonna turn left. And, you know, Bravo and Housewives is great, but like, it's just, I don't want to be a one trick pony. I think there's a lot of good reality shows. Like, we've had people on The Real World, The Hills. We cover it all. If you were on TV 10 years ago, I will find you and you will come on this podcast. So like, it doesn't have to be current. Like, there's a lot for the nostalgic blast from the past.
Yeah, go. The stuff that's happening to Chris Harrison is crazy. I mean, he's been the Bachelor host for as long as I can, forever, right? He's always been.
I mean, I don't know if he, yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's away for good now. That's a whole nother issue. But I've chatted with all these people about what do they think and who do they think should take over and do they think he should
please
step
don't
away.
Say JoJo.
No, but I've had, listen, some of the answers are just so interesting. You're going to have to listen to all these different people's opinions.
Do you think JoJo is good when she stepped in those few episodes?
No, and I don't think it'll be, I mean, I just don't think it'll be her.
It was not good at all, in my opinion. No, but all right. Awesome. But well, I'm good. Definitely going to have to check out all those new episodes you have coming up. I'm really excited.
I love me some Bachelor Nation.
Oh yeah, me too. It's just, it's really, I thought this season is really good.
I think it's one of the better seasons they've had in a really long time.
We needed it.
That's good.
Because after all, Claire's drama and obsession with Dale. Well, that was,
and that's, they were just pictured together somewhere. So I don't know. In San Diego, I think. So we'll see. I had someone on who knows Claire yesterday too. It's going to be coming out in like 2 weeks. So they had some stuff to say about Claire and Dale. So
interesting. So we shall see. We got to tune in.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, David, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate this. You have to keep me posted when this is coming out. No rush. But yes, if everyone wants to follow me again, it's like, if anyone wants to hear interviews, you won't hear me drone on like you just did. It's literally 5 days a week, a different reality or pop culture person every day. It's Behind the Velvet Rope. And on Instagram, it's at Behind Velvet Rope. There's no the, it's just at Behind Velvet Rope. And we have some pretty interesting interviews where people say things, mostly Bravo, mostly Housewives, but lots of Bachelor Nation, Drag Race, The Hills. I don't know what other, any other reality shows. If you have one, we've had someone on from it. So check it out. I appreciate you inviting me.
And David, you're the first, like I usually have athletes or just like fitness coaches. I've had Hannah on my podcast. So like you're the first person I'd say that's from this, you know, area, and so it might have not sounded as good as others.
No, but it's hopefully important. If there's anyone listening that likes reality TV, they would like my show. So no, I'm sure.
Yeah, everyone loves The Bachelor and Bachelorette. Trust me.
Yeah, I mean that's really my thing. I mean we just had Trista Sutter on, the original Bachelorette. We had Lacey Mark on, but we have a lot of people coming up from Bachelor Nation. So check it out.
Yeah, that's the thing about what you do is that a lot of people like The Bachelor, Bachelorette, or reality television, but not everyone likes sports. So you have a bigger area that more people from what I do would love your stuff than vice versa. So I think people will definitely navigate over to you.
I appreciate it. It was amazing talking. I'll come back anytime you want.
Thank you so much.
So that was David. And again, like while I realize the listeners may be like, why is she doing a pop culture podcast episode again? Like it was because I felt like I can really connect to David in his talent of just going deep with stars, really digging in and exploiting them. No, that's not what we're here for. But you know what I'm trying to say. Guys, this episode has been real. This week has been real. FYI, fun fact, I am going to be playing tennis with Hannah Berner. Yes, she plays tennis. I'm going to be playing tennis with her this week. So I am very excited. I will give you guys an update on how that goes. Very exciting. But as always, follow me on Jewels on the Hustle podcast on Instagram. And if you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review on Apple. Really means the world to me. But anyway, guys, we will see you next week on Jewels on the Hustle.
Every day I'm hustling, 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 every day I'm hustling.